This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
Tom, it's me and you, buddy.
Yep. We're back.
PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Tom Casale. We're here until 2 o'clock taking your emails, taking your calls, talking about Patriots football. Big win against the Lions coming up, going down to Miami to take on the Dolphins. Playoff position. It's all about playoff position at this time of the season. We're watching the scoreboard, seeing if the Patriots can somehow slip into maybe that number 2 seed slot. So, Tom, what's going on?
Not much.
No?
No.
Belichick had his press conference today. It's media day here. After having the day off, everybody's back. Any Belichick have any words of wisdom about Miami?
No, I asked him why Corey Dillon was bowing out.
Oh, yeah? What do you have to say?
I kind of phrased it so he wouldn't just give me the look.
Right.
So I said, I want to ask you a couple questions about Corey Dillon. Why is he so effective inside the red zone? And two, he seems to be asking out of games quite often. Can he carry the load if you need him to at this point in the season?
Right.
And he basically said he's got good stamina and then talked about the red zone stuff. But
so why is he asking out of games?
Karen, what's her last name?
Garigian?
Yeah, she asked again, and he didn't really give an answer.
Hmm.
But we were talking about Dillon yesterday, and, you know, the fans were getting on me because I was, you know, getting pretty rough out. You know, this is I put on my fan hat yesterday instead of my sports writer hat, and I thought to myself, okay, maybe I'm not looking at it through a fan's eyes. But you know what? I thought to myself, if I'm sitting at home on the couch and I'm watching Corey Dillon asking out on every other play, I'm getting mad. That's just the way I look at it. I guess it's different here because they lost for so long. Like, Michael Perini's a big Yankees fan, and they're so used to winning that he demands perfection from them. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Here, I think that they had so much losing that they'll accept stuff. Like, I just don't you get mad when you see Dillon run for 7 yards and ask out?
I do. The only thing I can think of, though, is maybe there's some, you know, he had that arm injury. Maybe, you know, he's kind of injured.
If he's injured, that's fine. But,
you know, and we just don't know about it.
Maybe.
You know, but I think you're right. It is frustrating, you know, when he goes on a 7-yard run and longer. He's gone on some longer ones, and then he's not in the next play.
Right.
You know, it's especially with Maroney not playing the whole game, you know. And, this, you know, Bill specifically said earlier in the season the way they were doing it was they weren't, you know, rotating them by down or by first down.
Today.
He was doing it by series. But they didn't do that against the Lions. Before Maroney got hurt, they were doing it. It was the first time I've seen, like, within a series, them switching back and forth.
But that's because Dillon was asking out.
Okay, good
point. You're going to do it by play if Dillon's asking out.
Right, right.
But no, he said that again today. He said, we don't design it like by play. It's either by personnel or by series.
Right.
So if they're doing it like that, it's because Dylan's asking out of the game.
Yeah. So, no, it is frustrating. Of course, we'll never know.
It's because the running game in general has been inconsistent. And, you know, my story this week for the paper is I'm trying to get to the bottom of why are they having so much success in the red zone running the football, but when you're at the 40, you can't get a yeah. You know what I mean? Like, where's the problem coming? And it's
right.
It's kind of hard to pinpoint.
The you know, and we said it on our TV show last night, and I'll reiterate it. If Maroney's hurt and Dylan's your number one guy, then they're just back where they were last year when they went into Denver,
right.
Where teams, good teams with defenses, well, don't have to really respect the run that much.
Now, let me get your opinion, because I got a – well, I'll tell you the story. A reporter that the people like a lot more than me came up to me today and said, oh, I hear you're getting killed on the internet message boards. And I said, oh, really? What for? And he said, for what you said about Dylan. And I said, oh, I basically said, you know, he's a goal line runner now, and that's about it. And he said, you know what, now this is a guy that the fans love, okay? And he said to me, you're exactly right. He's nothing more than Jerome Bettis now. That's what I feel. Do you feel the same way, that he's basically become Jerome Bettis if Maroney's healthy?
I think he's a little better, actually, than Jerome Bettis was. You know, he has broken off runs, but if the stamina is an issue, then he's lost to me.
Right. That's,
you know,
well, that's what we were saying.
Yeah.
You know, and part of him being Jerome Bettis is that, and that's what the guy told me. He said he's asking out, you know, after every other play here, and how can you get any rhythm going with him?
Right.
And that's a valid point. The fans think we're being negative, but this guy is Mr. Positive, and he's bringing up the same point. I don't understand why the fans aren't concerned. If Dylan is supposed to be in for a certain series and he can only run two plays of that series, that's hurting the team on the field. It's not hurting Tom Casale.
I don't give a
fuck. You know, it doesn't do anything to me, but it's hurting the running game in general.
Yep. So, you know, again, my only explanation other than he's out of shape is there might be some injury that, you know, it becomes to the point where he has to sit down for a couple plays just to be able to play again. You know, and if that's the case, well, you know, hey, let's give him credit for playing.
But he hasn't been on the injury report all year.
Well, he might be a guy that they just don't want to put on there because, you know, for whatever competitive reasons they feel. I don't know.
Well, Maroney was in the locker room today.
Well, that's good.
I mean, he looked it wasn't like he was limping or he looked fine.
Because, you know, Dylan can break off the 12-yard run every once in a while, but it doesn't matter how much of a head start he has. He's going to get caught. He will never break.
And Fred, now fans are going to think that you're getting on Corey Dillon, but the point I keep trying to make is we're not getting on Corey Dillon. He's just older. I often said if Corey Dillon didn't play in Cincinnati, he would have challenged Emmitt Smith's all-time rushing record. That's how good he was in his prime. He was a bull. He was fast. He just played on a terrible team. I think he's a great player, but when you look at his age, that's why we're saying at this point in the year, why aren't you getting Maroney more involved? You know, you've kept him fresh. He's the more explosive player, and and I got to be honest, if you look at the numbers, the way they're handling the running game, it's not working. It's not working because earlier in the year they were going for $150 a game. Now they're going for $60 or $70, so it's not working.
Yeah.
And the fans were chiming in yesterday, Fred, and they said, well, Corey Dillon's back because he scored 3 touchdowns. He had 25 yards.
No, that has nothing to do with the touchdowns.
Marcel Shipp had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, one of them he had to bang in. The other ones he went untouched. The one from 6 yards, I couldn't believe how easy it was. And, you know, these guys, Detroit just couldn't defend him, you know, and give credit to the Patriots, you know, line and tight ends for the way they're blocking, but the 4 and 6 yard run, it was hardly a challenge for him, you know?
And he's a good...
Mike Cloud had 3 home runs.
Three touchdowns,
you know?
And Dylan is a very good goal line runner. They're not taking anything away from him there. It's just that I don't think the fans want to see him get 20, 25 carries a game because then you're going to have to face reality. Because I'll tell you what, everybody agrees with what I'm saying. The only people who, even Fred does, the only people who don't are blind fans who want to believe that Dylan's back because he scored 3 touchdowns. That's the most meaningless stat in the NFL.
Yeah.
You don't think Lawrence... Listen, two weeks ago, Lawrence Maroney was in at the 1. He went in untouched. Okay. I always said this when they took, like, when they took Priest Holmes out the first year in Kansas City, they used to put Tony Richardson in. Remember that?
Sure.
And I said, are you telling me Priest Holmes can't run in from 2 yards out?
Right.
Well, come to find out he could because he broke the touchdown record 2 years later.
Right.
I'm telling you, next year when Maroney's at the two, he's getting in just as easily.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. So they need Maroney in there. Maroney keeps the defenses honest. With the ball in his hands, he could go all the way. So they have to play it a little different.
And when after the Broncos game, you know, where Maroney had the bad game where Dylan went out early, and I had asked one of the linebackers, I think it was Ian Gold, if Dylan going out had affected the game plan, and he said no, because we didn't really game plan for him anyway. He said even though he's the starter, Maroney's the guy you have to worry about because he's the cutback runner. Dylan just runs straight ahead. You don't really have to game plan for that. You just have to tackle well.
Right.
So that's a defensive guy saying that they were way back then game planning for Maroney, and that when Dylan went out, it didn't even affect their defense.
Yeah. So, okay. So, if you want to continue talking about the running back situation, this is the place to do it.
I think that's a good thing to talk about because we're now in week 13 or 14, wherever we are, and the running game seems to be getting, for some reason, progressively worse. And if any of you fans have an idea why that is, we'd like to hear it because we can't pinpoint it here.
All right. Another thing on the table, Dan Graham got named captain.
Yeah.
Do you read anything into that? What do you think?
I don't read anything into it.
No, why not?
Because I don't think he's going to stay.
This point of that goes all the whole thing. Why, you know, at week 14 of the season, why do you name a guy a captain?
Let's break it down here, Fred, okay? Do you think Daniel Graham is going to give a crap about being named captain if the Denver Broncos offer him $8 million more than the Patriots?
But why do you think the Patriots did that?
Just out of probably respect for him. Maybe they know that. They don't know that he's not coming back, but maybe they know there's a chance that he might not come back, and they want to show appreciation for what he's done here, you know, over the years. Because he was a first-round draft.
Well, obviously, the biggest appreciation they can, you know, show is to pay him.
Right, but I'm saying maybe they're going to give him an offer, but they know that it might not be enough. You know, they're saying, well, he may not be here at the end of the year, so let's give him some appreciation for what he's done during his career here. He's helped us win Super Bowls. He hasn't been in the limelight. He's blocking. He's helping Matt Light. And if that's the reason, I think it's a good reason.
Who actually selects the captains?
Belichick said he selected this one.
Okay. I'm telling you, I'm reading even more now. Because if it was the players, after what Brady said in his press conference, which just ended...
Well,
not too long ago, he said he's everything you want in a Patriot,
right.
Blah, blah,
but
blah.
But they said that about Deion Branch, too.
Well, that's my point, Tom. That's my point. You know, Brady's, if the players had chosen this, I'd say, here's Brady kind of sending a message to ownership and to Belichick. He's another guy that he does everything you ask him to do, no questions asked. We're making him a captain. Take that into consideration when you start talking with him. But now that you tell me that Belichick did it, I have a good feeling about this.
Well, I'll tell you what, Fred. I've spoken to Daniel Graham about the free agency.
Right.
And he all but came out and said he's heading to free agency. He all but said it. Now, if the Patriots give him a very good offer that he thinks is going to be comparable in free agency and he wants to stay here, that's one thing. But, I mean, he pretty much said he's hitting the market. And I just feel I think he wants to be more involved in a passing game. Just from talking with him and writing stories about him, I think he feels like he's done what he's been asked to do here, and he's got no problems with it. He's won mm-hmm. Super Bowls, and he's happy.
Yep.
But he feels like he can contribute more in the passing game.
Well, and now that could be another reason why Belichick made him a captain. Say, Dan, you know, we appreciate what you've done outside of the passing game, and in many respects, it's even more valuable to us. For that, you're going to be a captain.
I just don't think it makes a difference if he's going to sign here or not, if he's a captain.
I don't think in his mind it will make any difference naming me a captain. I don't care. Pay me.
Right.
You know, and that's I don't blame him for thinking that way. I think it's more of a message, you know, obviously it's a message that Belichick's giving him, but I think that maybe there's some talks going on now.
All right, well, they better start sending Asante Samuel some messages.
Well, okay, we'll talk to Asante also about that. And I saw reading some of the emails, I saw one of the emails had some questions about that. So we'll get into Asante Samuel a little bit. What else? Anything else going on? Locker room? Anything happening in there?
Not much.
No?
No, a couple kind of light today for a Wednesday.
Really?
Wasn't a lot of people around. Like I said, Maroney walked through, didn't stay, so that was a good sign.
You knew where he was going?
Yeah, yeah. Looked good.
Yeah. Vrabel, any sign of him?
Vrabel was there talking, so okay. He's all right.
He's fine.
He's
then.
Fine.
Yeah.
So
yeah. He might have got one of those chops, you know, just in the right place
yeah.
that kind of stunned him.
It looked like his leg at first.
Yeah, we thought it was
the
leg.
He bent the leg, but yeah. obviously it was just the head. So
yeah. Okay.
He's fine.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Let's see, what else? Any NFL news you want to bring up, put on the table for people to write in before we start getting into the emails?
No? I don't think so.
What's the big game this week?
The big game? I haven't really looked at the games. There's
Who are the Cowboys playing?
Dallas and New Orleans is a big one. That's on Sunday night.
That's kind of big.
Well, it's for the second seed in the NFC, so I guess you could say it's big. As far as the AFC goes, the Patriots, I think, have to win out. Wouldn't you agree?
I do. In order to get
they lose one more game.
Yeah.
You know, they don't own the conference tiebreaker with anybody, really. So they have to be better than the Colts or better than the Chargers.
Right.
And one more loss, I think, puts them out of it. So they're going to have to run the table and hope that San Diego and Indianapolis lose a couple.
Yeah, they're going to have to run the table, hope for a couple people to lose in order to get that number two slot. It's interesting, though. You know, the Colts lost to the Titans last week. You know, and I kind of have a feeling that they're not going to get any better this year, that the Colts have peaked.
Yeah, maybe.
That's it for them.
Could be.
You know,
it's whoever's playing best at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And, well, right now we can't say it's the Patriots either.
No, sure.
So
I'd say the Chargers.
Right now, yeah, they're playing the best, you know, but that can change in the next couple of weeks here.
You know, Bengals could get hot. You know,
that's the team I'm watching closely because their defense has stepped up the last couple of games. Now, I know they haven't played great offenses, but this is a defense that was so bad that we could have scored 20 points on them. So if their defense can play a little, you know, they had a lot of young guys playing for them. If their defense can get a little better, that's a team the Patriots don't want to play again because I think we all know that Carson Palmer was not right that first game. Now, granted, the Patriots crammed the ball down their throat offensively.
Right.
But that was the time where Palmer was having those, you know, what's wrong with Carson Palmer? Well, you know what? Nothing's wrong with him right now. His knee's better. And I go back to the whole thing where he didn't feel like he was quite ready to come back and the coaches wanted him to come back. I think there was some problems there mentally with him.
All right.
And that's just a team because we all know the way you're going to beat the Patriots is throwing the football on them with some receivers. That seems to be the – because you're not going to run the ball. You're not going to – you know, like a Steelers type of team isn't going to come in here and run the ball 50 times on them. No way. So that's the one team, if you're a Patriots fan, I wouldn't want to see early.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com. It's webradio@patriots.com. Any of the other guys say they might come down? Or?
No, I don't think so. I think they're working today.
Really? Oh, that's a change.
Yeah. See, what I do is I like to come in early and start working, and they're gabbing, so they got to do their work now.
Okay. Emails coming in. Mark says, "You guys are the best. You make my workday a lot shorter. I love all the topics covered, including the vacuum chat. Made my Christmas shopping a lot easier. Screw all the critics." There you go. We got a lot of criticism for the vacuums.
Yeah. The good thing is, though, we got a lot of fans. Whether they like, you know, I'm sure some people like Andy. They hate Andy. Some people like me. They hate me. But that's all right. As long as you're listening.
I see the John Rook tote board is up to 41.
Yep.
Got a few more. And, you know. See what happens with that. We've got to get more people to email in asking for a John Rook podcast. So,
he said he was going to promote that on his Big East radio shows, too.
Oh, boy. Well, that's good.
Is he coming in today, Rook?
No.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
Was he on the road with the team? He does the Providence Friar basketball play-by-play. Let's see. Jack writes in, "What is the status of Maroney? Was he removed from the game only because of injury? Also, couldn't the running game be more effective if the offensive linemen were as good at opening holes as they are blocking the pass?"
Geez, I don't know how good they've been against for blocking the pass.
Well,
they've had their moments this year where They've been downright
awful. We were talking earlier in the season about Brady getting killed. So I'd say right now they're as good in both, and they need to get better in both.
Yeah, it's funny because early on we were like, boy, they're going to have to rely on the running game, no passing game. And here we are months later going, boy, they got to fix this running game. You know,
right.
But
there's nothing that the Patriots have done bad or good this year that we can say this is who they are. Except for maybe stopping the run.
Stopping the run.
Other
than a couple of hiccups,
yeah,
they've done that pretty well consistently.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, they pretty much haven't found that identity. They're not a power running game like Pittsburgh used to be.
I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of turnover in personnel.
Yeah.
They got a lot of new players, you know.
Yeah.
I think this team will be better next year.
Well, let's see. Josh from Waterloo says, it looked like Bruschi had some more emotion during this game. Talking about retiring numbers from last week, isn't Teddy a larger-than-life figure to have his number retired? Along the lines of the Asante contract, do you think the Patriots would pay Teddy a large contract if he wanted a payoff to retire on? Also, Josh says, what can we do about the fumbles? Tiki Barber always had problems with them until he repositioned the ball up high. Why don't more people do that? I'm looking at you, Mr. Watson. Well, let's go first. Retiring numbers, no way.
So, and Bruschi wouldn't be one of them anyway.
No. I mean, you know, and I think the Patriots have probably retired too many numbers, but when it comes down to it, you got to reserve that for, like, guys that are just so far above and beyond everybody else, like a Tom Brady or a John Hanna. But
got to be, yeah, I'm watching comments made by John Elway on the screen there. You got to be that kind of player to get your number retired. John Elway, Dan Marino, Brett Favre,
yeah.
Tom Brady, the face of organizations, one of the best players to ever play your position. Teddy Bruschi is neither of those.
Right. So, you know, you can make the argument, oh, well, they've retired guys like Bob D's number.
But those were mistakes.
But those were mistakes, exactly. No disrespect intended, but you put him in some type of ring of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you reserve the retired numbers for a higher. You know, we were, like we said earlier, after we came back from Lambeau Field, they have a ring of honor, which is like 20 people or so. But then you look in the end zone for the retired numbers. It's only like five guys.
There's four, I think.
Four guys.
And Favre will be five.
And the Packers have been around quite a long time. You
they
know?
Have a heck of a history.
Yeah, so that's the way you really need to do it. We all love Teddy Bruschi, but you just can't, you know, you have 53 guys on a team at any one time, you know, until I guess they could go in the three-digit numbers at some point. But, you know, you gotta really limit that for really the best of the best. But what else he was talking about? Fumbling. You know?
Yeah, well, Barber is a running back, and it's more how he was carrying the ball in the open field, I think. So I think that's why that would be more effective with him. Watson, he's like, I don't know, it's weird. He fumbles when nobody touched. I mean, Barber was fumbling when guys were knocking the ball loose, like there was too much space, and they were knocking the ball loose. Watson just fumbles. I don't know what the problem is.
I think his biceps are too big.
Maybe.
You know, it's pushing the ball out.
I know Amon Green said that he actually sweats a lot. So he sweats so much that it was making the ball slippery.
No,
and then he was trying to find ways to combat that. So you never know what the problem is.
You never know. I know Kevin Falk was trying for a while that kind of – he had like an arm thing with like these big round rubber things that the ball would, you know, settle up against and kind of keep
it help,
moving.
Huh?
No. The other thing I was thinking is why don't guys like on the inside of their shirt – running down like the side, put like a rubber surface so the ball.
I'm sure it's illegal.
You think it's it? Why? Why would it be illegal?
Why stick them illegal?
I don't know.
Well, it is.
Well, you know,
listen, Fred. You add something to your uniform, they're going to make it illegal.
They make stick them illegal because it's messy. But now they wear. Have you ever seen the gloves that they wear? It's like glue. I mean, how do you miss a ball with the gloves that they wear? I mean, when you talk about rubberized, this stuff is like the tackiest rubber that you've ever seen, and they allow them to wear that. You know, guys never used to wear
they're
gloves.
Not putting anything on the uniforms.
Well,
you know that,
just like a little rubber surface, you know.
All right
Rob in Ashburn, Virginia writes in, and he says it's been a while, but he has some thoughts about the Lions game. He says after the Lions threw out quarterback Josh McCown as a wide receiver yesterday. I thought they were going to dig up George Plimpton to play defensive back. Remember him?
Yep.
Paper Lion?
Yep.
Also, the announcers in the coverage on TV were terrible. When Patrick Pass fumbled, they showed Corey Dillon and acted like it was him. And also, announcers were so flip-flop when Josh McCown caught the ball. It was ingenious by Mike Martz when he dropped the ball. That was poor planning on the Lions staff? What? I don't know. Also, did anyone catch Lovie Smith's press conference yesterday? He was wearing a NCF North Division Champs t-shirt. That got me wondering, would Belichick ever wear a Division Champs t-shirt during a press conference? I say no, but t-shirts he might be caught wearing would be, one, I'm with Stupid and the arrow is pointed out towards the media, and two, is that a Super Bowl trophy in your pocket or are you just glad to see me?
Are you kidding me?
So, no, Belichick would never wear.
No.
I remember it might have been the first. Yeah, it was the first Super Bowl that he was at with the Patriots against the Rams. And prior to the Super Bowl, like on Friday, it's customary, it's tradition for both coaches to show up.
Yeah.
They do a big press conference, and they have the Lombardi Trophy there. And the Rams were first, and you know they do a photograph session with the head coach and the trophy. And Martz picked it up, and he was cradling it like a newborn baby. You know, he did everything short of kissing it. Okay, then it was Belichick's turn. He would not touch it. He just stood with his hands folded in front of it. It would not touch the trophy. And I knew right then the Patriots are going to win that game.
I say you didn't, but.
Well, he didn't what?
I say you didn't know they were going to win that game.
Oh, we asked any of these guys. We talked about it ad nauseum. That was it. Belichick.
But you really had no basis for it. It was just that you were hoping they would win. And
of course. Well, I mean, you know, but you know, it was a complete contrast of styles. You know, Belichick will not touch that trophy until it's his.
Well, I remember the spread was 13.5.
Sure.
And I took the Patriots just for that reason, because I figured Belichick would outcoach them. I didn't know if they had the talent to win the game, but I said, you got to be kidding me. You're going to give me – they already played this year. That was a three-point game.
So if you – and it was one of the most physical games Rams had been involved in. If you had known me, I would have given you that little tip about the trophy. You could have doubled your bet. You'd have been in – you wouldn't have had to work anymore.
I know. A lot of people would have been happy.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin says, how's it going? As the season is passing by as fast as Drew Bledsoe's time as a quarterback in the NFL, we are now coming down to the home stretch, so I thought I'd give you some thoughts. Let's see. I just went up too high. Quick thoughts to see how the experts, that would be you guys, think about them. One, the biggest thing which should be concerning for us Pats fans is the fundamentals of football. With all the mental mistakes, the missed tackles, penalties, turnovers, it's really a concern. And would you feel that it is also a sign of poor coaching? No.
Now, I think stupid penalties and, mismanagement of clock, I think those are signs of poor coaching. In other words, the New York Giants.
12 men on the field,
yeah,
things like that.
I'll give you a perfect example. The Giants had 4 personal foul penalties against the Cowboys. Oh, actually 3, because one was a terrible call. But they were out of control. They cost their team. And then they throw a pass down to the 15-20-yard line with a minute 48 to go, and they call timeout. See, to me, those are signs of bad faults in coaching. Herm Edwards had some problems in New York with managing the clock.
Right.
Coaches should be all over that. Another one would be if you have to call a timeout or something because you're not prepared for a fourth down or a two-point conversion. I think guys like Belichick think ahead on those. I think when we score, we're going for two. This is the play we're going to use.
Right.
So I don't think the turnover thing is. I think that's just ball security. They're working on it. They say it every week how they're putting an emphasis on it, and it's not working for them.
Two, time to defend Tom Casale as he's getting bashed very unfairly on Pats.com and this show. I, too, feel Corey Dillon can't be counted on. Sure, he can run that 2-yard TD and spike the ball, but he put the ball on the ground against the Bears and the Packers and was out of gas on that long run against the Jets. I suggested that Dillon is done and should have had his carries very limited, and people thought I said Brady should be benched for Vinny. Tom Casale is right. Corey Dillon is washed up. Keep up the great work, Tom.
Well, thank you. And, Fred, you have to agree with me on this. I've been very consistent since July. on this. I said Dylan would run for 700 to 800 yards and 10 touchdowns. Now, he's going to get more than 10 touchdowns because he already has 10, but he's not going to get, he's going to be right in the 700-yard mark.
Yeah.
So to say that I'm, we had email after email yelling at me saying 1,300 yards, 1,400 yards, 1,500 yards for Corey Dillon. So I've been very consistent, and in my opinion, I've been right because he's not going to get any more yards than I said he would.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And listen, we're paid to give an opinion on how we feel about my personal opinions of Corey Dillon have nothing to do with this. I was saying this back in the summer. Fans are paid nothing just to root. That's what they do. They root. So they're rooting for Corey Dillon. My hat's off to you. Root for him all you want. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you Corey Dillon should be on the field over Lawrence Maroney when I don't think he should be, and no one else does either.
Three, is it just me? I know Brady is behind center, but when we are driving down the field, why am I concerned a turnover is going to happen more than winning touchdown or field goal? Ben Watson has become a big concern. Well, because maybe in the last two games they've had eight. That's why you're thinking of it. Hopefully they're gonna fix this. I'm hoping that this is an anomaly. You know,
well you are who you are, and they have to get better over these next four games. There's no question about that. They can't continue. Even if they win the next four and play the way they have been playing, I'm not going to feel good going into the playoffs. Now, if they start getting better from this point on, then I say, okay, well, they fixed some of the problems that they had. Because no team's going to be perfect heading into the playoffs. So, but turning the ball over, if you had a list of the things you don't want to be doing going into the playoffs, that's probably number one.
The fourth thing that Sean says is, for those fans who think Miami is an automatic win, and I'm talking about the bandwagon people who joined in 2001, the Pats in their history have only won twice in the month of December in South Florida, 1997 to clinch the division, and my favorite regular season game, when the last game in the OB, Steve Grogan hit.
That's Orange Bowl.
Orange Bowl, okay. Steve Grogan hit Stanley Morgan for a touchdown in the last seconds and won the AFC East in 86. Thanks, guys. And Tom does bring a lot to the show, fans. Be more educated.
Thank you.
Says Sean. Are they really killing you?
I haven't been on there. I can't say the writer's name, but someone told me earlier on that I was.
Oh, one thing that Sean wants to add, he says he's urging all Pats fans to go to the NFL.com website, look for the Hall of Fame section, and find all the selectors that are involved in the process and do everything you can to voice your opinion that Andre Tippett belongs in the Hall of Fame. So there you go.
Yeah.
Not that it has. I think that might have a negative effect. I mean, if I was a writer from Ohio and I started getting bombarded with emails and letters from people in New England about Andre Tippett.
Well,
the best thing they can do is for the Patriots Media Relations Department to get out information on his career. And educate them.
Well,
that
I just hope they take it a little bit more seriously than the Heisman Trophy voters.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I told the story here, what I heard in the press box a couple weeks ago from a guy voting for the Heisman Trophy, and apparently they don't take that very seriously. Now, if I voted for the Heisman Trophy, to me, that would be, I would take that
seriously. It's a privilege.
Yeah, I would take that seriously.
It's an honor.
So, I don't know who I don't know who the Hall of Fame voters are. I'm assuming that they're very respected writers. So I'm hoping they take this seriously and look at everybody and not just, you know, well, I remember Thurman Thomas. He was pretty good. That's not how you do it.
Yeah. All right, Jason, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Back. That's what this song is, right? Back of the Saddle. You know. That's right. All right, DFW in Progress, Fred Curry, Tom and Sally. Here until 2 o'clock. Webradio at Patriots.com is email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. We're talking Tory Dillon. We're talking Miami Dolphins coming up. Maybe we'll talk a little bit of Asante Samuel and his situation, Lawrence Maroney, the running game, whatever you want. We're here. This is where you get unedited, unbiased, well, a little biased, Patriots talk. You can't get anywhere else. You turn on talk radio in Boston to talk about the Red Sox.
That's
who
awful.
Who cares?
It's awful.
Who cares?
I mean, do I really care right now that the Red Sox have J.D. Drew?
They're talking about, they spent too much money. There's no salary cap. Yeah. Why do you care how much they spent on him?
And you know what? Talk to me like when it's baseball season.
Right.
You know, I love college basketball, but I'm not really into it yet because it's football season.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not baseball season. Who cares?
All right. And screw the Sox. Let's talk some football. So this is where you can listen to Patriots talk anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, not just like a 20-mile radius of the station or anything
like
that.
That's why we have thousands of listeners.
That's right, from all over the world.
Not just game day, every day?
Not just game day, every day. Brian in freaking cold Colorado writes in, I listened to yesterday's show this morning and have a comment on your Dillon discussion.
Here we go.
Dillon has been less than mediocre as a running back overall for a couple of years now.
Ooh.
However, I have seen too many backs get stuffed near the goal line to not appreciate his ability to run well for less than 5 yards. I am happy he can get in on first down so we don't have to worry about downs 2-4. Hey, if you guys can afford to buy a vacuum cleaner for every floor of your house, you aren't getting paid that bad.
Yeah, Paul.
Paul has a vacuum cleaner?
No, he needs one for the upstairs now.
Oh.
Because the one for the downstairs apparently can't go upstairs.
Okay.
No one's saying that he's not a good goal line runner. Corey Dillon's one of the hardest backs to tackle that you'll ever come across. He's a very hard runner. It's just he's getting a little older, and I don't care what anybody says. I watched the guy in training camp. I saw him, lollygagging around. He's not in the kind of shape he used to be. I think most people have that same theory.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw it, Fred.
Yeah, he kind of lumbers down the field. He never gets into a sprint anymore.
No.
You know?
No, never.
Never. So, I mean, he is what it is. We need Maroney in there. He's the guy that puts a threat into the Patriots' backfield and will keep defenses honest. James writes in, do you remember that I told you in an email I sent to you on November 3rd, 2006, about an interesting fact that the Patriots are the only NFL team to have a winning record every year this decade? After winning their game Sunday, the Patriots extended that streak to six straight seasons. Given the fact that the Patriots, as a team and an organization, has had to face player losses through the salary cap, free agency, and injuries that no other past dynastic team had to face, that just makes the even greater of an accomplishment. Just in case you're wondering, the Colts are just behind the Patriots with five straight seasons with winning records, and the Broncos can also join the Colts with five straight winning seasons should they win two more games. So, well, I think there's no denying what the Patriots have done is pretty amazing to be competitive for the streak that they've done in this era. You know, and a lot of people think that doing it during the salary cap era makes it even tougher than it was before.
Yeah, but I would still say, for my lifetime, the greatest streak was the Niners winning, what is it, 14 division titles in a row?
Yeah.
And don't forget now, all 14 didn't have Joe Montana. He got injured. There was guys named Steve Bono playing quarterback for him. So that they had a winning record, I believe, something like 17 straight years. They won the division 14 straight years. That's just absolute domination.
You see, I and not to take any credit away from the Patriots, but I think that every era has its own challenges.
Yeah.
And every team plays within those challenges in every era.
Right.
You know, the Patriots aren't the only ones with the salary cap thing. And back in the days of the Steelers and the 49ers, when they were able to keep together, every team had the same ability to do that.
And
it's just that those teams did it better, you know?
And you go, like, in the early 90s and take a, you know, back when Belichick was in New York there with the Giants, take a look at some of those teams, the Redskins, the Cowboys, the Giants.
Yeah.
Those teams were just flat-out scary.
Yeah. They had the talent because of whatever, better coaching, better scouting, better personnel moves.
And what it was when you had that better scouting and coaching and personnel, it was easier to keep the players once you got them. So when you drafted well, you could hang on to the players easier.
Right, right.
So that gave an advantage to teams like that.
And, you know, even though there wasn't a salary cap per se back in the early 90s and 80s and 70s, I mean, owners didn't have unlimited money. It wasn't like people were throwing around New York Yankee money. You know, they still had self-imposed salary caps.
But, the Patriots win and will continue to win because of their owner, their coach, and their quarterback.
Right.
Those are the three reasons. And as long as those three stay in place, you know, although I got to tell you, Michael Prenny was floating something around today.
What's he saying?
He says they're going to fire Coughlin in New York, and then they're going to throw all the money to Belichick.
To be in the Giants?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Belichick... that might be attractive to him.
You ever think he'd want to go back and coach there?
I think he wouldn't mind. Yeah.
Be in the same city with Mangini. Can you imagine that media circus?
That would be something.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. The reporters don't want that. They think Mangini's tough.
Yeah.
They got all, well, what do they see? What's coming if Belichick gets there?
Did you see Coughlin on the sideline on Sunday?
Have you ever seen a bigger idiot?
It's unbelievable. He reacts to everything negative.
Everything.
Everything.
Every play he's yelling.
When does he have time to coach? He's too busy.
He's like a fan.
I
didn't notice it that much until my father told me at the beginning of the year. He said, watch this jerk on the sidelines. He said, every time something goes wrong, he's got his hands up in the air. It's like, oh, the world's coming crashing down.
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, when's the last time you saw Belichick do that?
The only time he does that when he's pissed off at the refs.
Yeah.
But even
then, it's not, oh, woe is me.
Right.
You know, like, that's the impression Coughlin gives you.
It's like, you always get that feeling like he's saying to himself, I told them not to do that, and they did it anyway.
He looks like, it just gives you a losing attitude. He looks like a loser.
Yeah.
He just looks like a loser when he's doing it.
Yeah.
That was a disgraceful performance.
Yeah.
I've always been more of the, like how Belichick acts, like the, you know.
Stoic kind of.
Yeah.
Even.
But, you know, because I don't mind if you yell a little bit at a player or an official, but. You know, to react to every play.
I know. It's kind of immature looking,
it
too.
Is.
He looks like a big baby.
And how can the players respect him as a disciplinarian?
Right.
He's doing that.
Right. It's just, he just loses it. Anyway, Let's see. Russell from the OC.
Early Doucette.
Yeah, he says, first off, Tom, you're an excellent part of the show. You say what you think without fear of being different and outrageous.
Thanks,
keep
Russell.
Cashing crafts checks. And remember, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
That's right.
Being in California, the Patriots games are rarely on, so I've listened to them on Sirius. For those who listen to the games on radio, be thankful for Gil and Gino. I've heard a few of the other team's broadcasters via Sirius, and they are horrid. Poor Johnny Most like clones. Yesterday, everyone was voicing their concerns. Well, you know, before we get on to his next set, I, you know, on Sirius, after the game, they have like a replay where they do the calls from the various home team radio. I was talking about this earlier, you know, a few weeks ago. They all are younger guys.
Yeah.
And they all try to, you know, they growl when things get really exciting. You know, they don't have the pipes that Gil Santos has.
Yeah.
Gil Santos doesn't need to growl or do anything because he's got the deep voice anyway, so it's good. But these young guys, they're just like, you know, ESPN wannabe guys, you know, and they don't really have the pipes. You know, they know a lot about sports. I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying they don't know a lot about their team or football in general, but they don't have the pipes. And that's part of it. That's a big part of the gift. That a good broadcaster has. That's why Gumbel, no matter how much he starts to learn the craft, he doesn't have the pipes.
Right.
I'm talking about Bryant on the NFL. Greg is much better.
Yeah.
Greg is, you know.
Now, I got to be honest with you. I haven't listened to a game on radio in decades, so I have to ask Early Doucette there, why don't you get the NFL Sunday ticket? I mean, I know it's expensive. Maybe it's a money thing. Maybe it's a place where you live, but I always wondered why people who say they can't watch the Pats just don't get the NFL Sunday ticket.
If I was home on Sunday, I'd have it in a heartbeat.
Oh, I had it for 14 years or so.
Yeah.
Once you have it, you can never live without it. It's just even forget your favorite team. Just flip it around. I mean, any game you want, there it is. Boom.
Russell goes on to say, yesterday everyone was voicing their concerns as to what's the weakness of this team. Receivers running freely over the middle was an especially hot topic. Would you say this secondary is more solid than the one in 04 that had to play without Ty Law? Since the first championship in 01, the defense has had that bend, don't break philosophy. Other than Law missing in 04, I can't remember a concern I had then in 03 or 04, but I'm sure I did. The core of this team is playoff tested and proven, which is an intangible that shouldn't be discounted.
Yeah, but they still had Harrison and Wilson, right? That's when Wilson was actually playing well.
Right.
So, and Harrison, he was at the top of his game then. So I would say overall, I'd probably have more concerns now, especially with Harrison being out. You know, if Harrison was there, I would say they're going to be all right, but we're not sure yet. You know, Bill enlightened us today. He's day-to-day getting better.
Oh, Harrison is.
Yeah. So, you know, now he's coming back from another injury. It's going to be tough for him to get in that. If Harrison was healthy, I'd feel a lot better about this secondary.
Yeah, well, he says he's going to play this year. Those are his quotes.
I know that, Fred, but you know what my problem is? When he got injured again, he was just starting to get back.
Yeah.
Like we were noticing it. Oh, he's starting to become the old Rodney again. Now he's got another setback, and he's got to come back.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tough for him to be the same kind of player he was.
Yeah, I mean, next year they definitely have to work on speed.
They got to get some speed on defense.
Yeah. Alti from Montreal, Canada. I just read that Tony Parrish was waived by the Niners. Is he any good? We certainly could use some depth at safety. Well, the Patriots just signed Ray Mickens. So.
He's exactly the opposite what we just said. He used to be a pretty good player, but he's a big hitter. He's slow. He has trouble in coverage. That's not what they need right now. They don't need a glorified linebacker back at safety where teams can take advantage of his slowness. That's not what they need.
ESPN reported that Asante Samuel was looking for similar money to another defensive back who I can't remember his name, but the deal was around $36 million for 6 years with $10 million guaranteed. I agree with you that we shouldn't bust the bank for Asante, but I also fear how this secondary would be without him. If the Patriots offered him that deal, would you be happy with that? I would.
Yeah.
I would give him that.
That's fine.
I would give him that.
Based on what other players have gotten.
Yeah. I think that if that's
what... Keep in mind here. Let's throw this out. Our boy, Richard Marshall from Fresno State, you know, the cornerback we like for the draft, he's starting in Carolina now. Do you know who he's starting over? Ken Lucas, who signed for a $12 million signing bonus, and I think more than that money. So there's a guy they just threw the bank at now, and he's not even starting.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Henry in Dallas is a number two corner, and he signed. I think that's probably the cornerback he's referring to, because he signed for $10 million signing bonus and in that neighborhood of money. And he's the number two corner on the team. So if you're going to give that money to Asante Samuel, he would be the number one corner here. And the two guys you're comparing them to, one doesn't start, and the other is a number two corner. So I think value-wise, that's pretty good value.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy giving him $36 million for 6 years, maybe even going a little bit more than the $10 million guaranteed. You know, I don't see anyone else that, you know, out there that maybe they could scoop. Champ Bailey's not available.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you're asking me if I would do it or if they would do it. I'm with you. It's not my money, so I don't care.
Well, I don't want to, you know, break precedent and break the bank and make it difficult, you know, for the next guy. But I think that in today's market, I don't think that that's outrageous.
And sooner or later,
I don't think it's outrageous.
Sooner or later, you got to start signing someone.
Yeah,
Asante Samuel's well liked in the locker room. You know, he's one of those guys that fits in. He's a leader on defense. You start taking too many of those people away, you got to replace them with younger guys who have to learn your system. You can't
Hobbs becomes your leader.
Yeah,
now.
And you can't win Super Bowls by constantly bringing in younger guys who need to learn your system. You got to have some guys there who are staples.
Right. You got at some point you got to be in that season where this is where we built to forward. This is where we are now. Not, you know, we're always getting there. Alti also says, lastly, lay off Dylan. Why can't he and Maroney be on the team next year? He is great insurance, and for all the spectacular potential that Maroney displays, I still believe Dylan is the safer bet on third and one. It worked for Willie Parker and the bus.
Well, first of all, Maroney is way better than Willie Parker. Way better than Willie Parker.
And plus, it can work, but you got to remember that, you know, Bettis wasn't getting a lot of carries a game until Parker got hurt.
Right.
At some point in the season.
You're exactly right.
You know, Bettis was very content coming in goal line and short. But that's not how the Patriots have been playing this.
Right. Now, next year, now what he's saying next year, if Corey Dillon wants to come in and just run from the goal line, then I'm all for it.
Happy to have him.
Yeah, but next year, if Lawrence Maroney's not getting 20 carries a game, you're going to be hearing a lot more upset people than you are right now.
Because, you know, even the great ones, Barry Sanders, Emmett Thomas, you know, you look at their yards per carry, which are usually over 4 or 5 yards per game, but usually there's that big run in every game that kind of brings that average to where it is. Barry Sanders had a lot of carries where he was caught behind the line of scrimmage.
A whole bunch.
1-2 yards. But when you put the ball in a guy like that's hand 20-30 times, it's going to break one.
And I'll tell you, Freddie, you know what's going to make Patriot fans change their tune real quick next year? I'm going to give you a few names. D'Angelo Williams will be the starting running back from day one in Carolina. Joseph Addai will be the starting running back from day one in Indianapolis. Maurice Jones-Drew will be the starting running back from day one in Jacksonville, because Fred Taylor, this is pretty much the same situation there. He's about to go out. Jarius Norwood will be the starting running back from day one in Atlanta, because Warrick Dunn's nearing the end of his career. So now you're going to look at a bunch of running backs from that class who are going to be the main guys getting 20 yards per carry. So you know what's going to happen next year if this same crap's going on? People are going to email in going, how come Maroney's not getting carries? Look at all these guys that were drafted below him.
Right.
So I just want you to be prepared for that.
All right. You've been warned by the sheriff. Andy from Southampton, Mass. I now know that you guys don't have your pictures. I now know why you guys don't have your pictures up on the website after seeing PFW on TV last night. I also don't understand why you guys all make fun of Andy. He's the least goofy looking out of the four of you on TV.
Well, he's got a big head. That's what we make fun of.
Well, you can't see it on TV. But he's got a big pumpkin.
Yeah, he's got a huge head.
Hey, we're all goofy looking. Anyway,
you see, I mean, you should see him on TV, Fred. He's not even close to me anymore in terms of size.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like 20 pounds lighter than me.
Yeah, he's really a shrimp now. Yeah. But thank you for watching, Andy. I appreciate it.
And amazingly, though, we all have pretty hot wives.
Yeah.
So we must be doing something right.
Anyway, I was looking at the playoff picture, and it looks very possible we might see the Jets in the first round. How do you think the Patriots will react to them after losing at home? And if they lose, does Belichick run away from Mangini again like a little girl?
Well, this has always been my theory, Fred, and I don't know if you share the same opinion. I don't like in the playoffs playing a team that I see all the time because you know them, but they know you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the Jets are one of those teams that's getting sneaky better as we go on.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of confidence in that locker room when I went in there after that game. And I don't know if I want to see them again because if the Patriots had won that game, I'd say, come on, bring them on. But now that they've come here and beaten the Patriots and they know that they can,
yeah,
I'd rather – you want Jacksonville. Jacksonville won't come in here and beat the Patriots in 100 years in the playoffs. That's the team you want. So root for Jacksonville to come here because they'll destroy them again.
It'll be interesting, though. Boy, what a that'll be a kind of a media circus.
Talk about an 8 o'clock game. You think that one will be at 8 o'clock?
It'll be the biggest media circus with the least amount of quotes ever.
Right.
You know? They'll all be made up
guaranteed
stuff.
Guaranteed to be at the 8 o'clock game.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Josh from Burlington, Vermont. Tom, I figure most fans agree with you about Dylan, but we don't write in because we figure you don't need a pat on the butt. I can't imagine why anyone would look at Dylan right now and figure he's an every down back.
Well, according to the reporter, there's a lot of people on a message board who disagree with me. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, I've been saying it for a while, and I came into the season loving Corey Dillon.
I
got one look at Lawrence Maroney, and I said, "This you got to give the guy the ball."
And I was under the assumption, like he just wrote in, that most of the fans were on board with that at this point in the year. But for some reason, Fred, and you weren't here yesterday, the 3-touchdown performance changed everybody's opinion. Like, what? He had 25 yards.
That's nuts.
Listen, I appreciate he's a good goal line back. I want him to keep doing that, but it's the most overrated stat in football. You know, a couple of years ago, Mo Williams for the Vikings had 8 touchdowns and 745 yards rushing. Dylan's going to be lucky to get to the 745, and he's only going to have a few more touchdowns. You want to go out and sign Mo Williams?
All right, Jason, we're going to come back and get to more of your emails, but right now we'll take a break. We'll see you in a minute.
Yo, I'm Diane.
And this is Elaine.
We're the Twins, and you're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Breaks the tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. Get it. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
In the first round draft pick in 2004, only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official new replica helmet exclusively from the New Orleans Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly a PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed in helmet limited to your first 400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
I feel the master. I
feel
the
master. We ready.
They ready.
Well, come on.
We
come on.
Ready.
Y'all ready.
They ready.
We ready.
We ready.
We ready.
Come on. Come on.
Come on.
All right, we're back here in PSW Progress. Jason's getting all hip-hoppy on us now, huh? Oh, boy, I got to yell over the music. I can't even hear myself think. You know, Gary goes away and he leaves Jason with the controls. He goes nuts. Yeah, where is Gary? He's got a meeting in Boston today.
A meeting in Boston. Does that mean he's looking for a new job?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, webradio at patriots.com. That's webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Phone number, in case you want to call, 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. And college is done, right, for this weekend? There's no more college?
Just the bowl games.
There's, yeah, but that doesn't happen until
19th or 21st is the first one. So yeah, no bowl game, no games this weekend for college. Is it the NFL start this Saturday or no?
For Saturday games? I don't know. I'm not sure.
No, I think it's the week after.
Yeah, Paul looked it up. It was the 10th.
So there's nothing on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Heisman Trophy's on. That's what.
Oh, okay.
But nothing, all no right. games.
That's too bad.
So that way Paul can get drunk at Hooters without missing anything.
Oh, that's right. We're going to be in Miami, right? Does he have certificates? Has he been doing the show in Florida?
I don't know.
Has anybody been doing the radio show in Florida?
I have no idea.
Because that's how we get the free things for Hooters.
Oh, I don't know.
Otherwise, we have to pay.
Yeah, I'll be down there.
Yeah, what good does that do us?
No. They'll give you some free stuff.
Well, yeah. No, but no.
Hi, I'm Fred Kirsch. You may have seen me on PFW TV.
There's a guy named Jim Grimmel that runs a radio station down in Florida. He's from here. And usually, over the course of the season, he has one of us do a regular thing, and then he gives us, like, everything for free at Hooters. But I don't know if...
Hey, Chris, tell Paul to email down and ask if he's got the certificates for Hooters.
Yeah, because I think, though, that Paul and Andy are so big now that they won't talk to him, so we're probably going to have to pay for our own food.
So, well, they just... we just got this printed out here. I guess... I don't know if the fans have seen this yet. ESPN.com did a thing that said the BCS... with the NFL, and the field goal that beat the Colts last week would have knocked them out of the BCS title game if the NFL had the same system. And according to them, the Chargers would be number one, the Bears number two, the Colts three, the Patriots four, the Cowboys five. Those are the top five BCS NFL
teams. Oh, so that's
teams.
Interesting. They applied the BCS computer's ranking system to the NFL.
The two teams that would play for the championship right now, even though the Patriots beat the Bears, would be the Chargers and the Bears. And the Patriots are in third by, are fourth by quite a bit from the Chargers, who are number one.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. I can't really argue with it. I'm just happy that we don't have that type of system.
Yep.
You know, they
But I think it's funny how the Colts would have gotten knocked out if it was today by the 60-yard field goal.
Yeah.
And that's how the BCS works, you know, you're done.
Let's see. Al writes in, I agree with the general thrust of your comments about Corey Dillon, but there should be no surprise here. Dillon's getting older and he appears to be playing
hurt. Wait. Now this is what I said in July. No. Because I knew this was coming. I knew it. I said this in July and August, and we got email after email killing me when I said part of my reasoning is his age and injuries because of his age. That's why he won't do it. And I have who's the guy I got the bet with? Tell him to email in for the autographed jersey for 1,000 yards.
Okay. All right. I forget who that is.
I know. No one's because you know why? Because the people who were emailing in the 1,300, 1,400, 1,500 yards, we haven't heard from them in a while.
Right. Let's see. Al goes on to say, Coming off his first season with the Pats where he rushed for 1,600 yards, evidently Dylan hired a personal trainer and tried really hard to maintain his condition. So I have to believe he has been trying to stay in shape. But even in his prime, Dylan has never been a breakaway threat. He himself has always approached each carry as a four-yard gain. Assuming Marrone is healthy and remains so, then I remain optimistic in the postseason with Marrone, Dylan, Kevin Falk, and Heath Evans behind a solid line. As for Graham being named captain, maybe this is a message to Ben Watson to hang on to the ball better downfield. I love Ben Watson, but that is a hole in his game at this time.
Yeah, you know, that's funny how they always say, well, he hired a personal trainer. Hey, I used to be a personal trainer, Fred. You know, a lot of people who used to hire me? They were fat people, and then they didn't use me. So just because you hire a personal trainer, that doesn't mean that you did anything. That just means you hired a personal trainer. Corey Dillon's got a ton of money.
So when you were a personal trainer, did you use the sort of tactics where you just browbeat the people, just like a Marine sergeant?
No.
Is that, you didn't do that?
No, not really.
I can see you doing that. You are fat and lazy.
No,
that's not how
you get customers in personal training, Fred.
No, but maybe it's how you get results. I don't know.
It's either want to or you don't.
So you were more the Richard Simmons type?
No, some people just...
I can see you with the little
striped
shorts.
Some people hire a personal trainer just for peace of mind. Well, I'm trying.
Yeah.
My point would be, if you hire a personal trainer, you tell us why in every wind sprint in training camp he was dead last, and why when they had to run around goalposts, out of 80 people, 79 went behind the goalpost and one went in front of the goalpost.
Yeah. Well, he's Corey being Corey.
Yeah.
I could see you like Richard Simmons with the little striped nylon shorts and
not quite, Fred.
Doing jumping jacks. No?
No.
Working with, you know, old ladies that widows and rich
I
widows.
Would, boss, you're a loser. I would only try to get like the hot like 40-year-old
women. Now, did you ever have like, you know, you're in a woman's home and she made a move on you?
I wasn't in a woman's home. I would be lying if I said I'd never slept with any of my clients.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, that personal training gig isn't bad.
I want to hear more.
And I'll tell you why. I'd be lying if I told you they were all not married.
Now, did you meet them in a gym? How did this
yeah,
work?
Yeah, you meet them in the gym.
You meet them in a gym.
But a married woman that goes to the gym who's in good shape and hires a personal trainer,
yeah,
that's like a red flag, Fred.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
I better watch out for that.
Because you're like 38 years old, right? You're in great shape. What do you need me for?
Right.
You know what she needs me for.
Wow.
Oh, hi.
Wow. So you were kind of really working overtime.
Oh, that's a good business to be
really?
In.
Now, is it like Jerry with the cleaning lady? Did they still pay you after that?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yep. So you got paid even with that?
Yeah, well, it wasn't like we were dating, Fred. It was just...
Now, were any of these women married?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Any time the husband ever find out or anything?
No.
You never had.
You got to know what you're doing, Fred.
You never had the jealous husband break in on you.
No, you got to know what you're doing.
No, running down
the
street.
You got to tell them right off the bat. You know, and that's what most of them want too. They just want, you know.
Wow.
They're getting neglected at home.
Wow. Things are, you know, I guess up in upper state New York, things get lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. This is a whole other side of Tom Casale that we never knew.
Holy. Just know that. Just I'll tell you what, Fred. You know, I've seen your wife. She's in good shape. If she ever tells you she needs a personal trainer, get worried.
Well, she's doing Pilates. Should I be worried?
No, that's
about
okay.
That?
Okay. It's if she needs to hire a personal trainer,
yeah,
that you're all done.
I'm
you're
done?
All done. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I figure I only got a couple of years left
yeah,
anyway.
So. I agree.
All right. Let's see. Bob says, since Tom Brady took over in week 3 of the 2001 season, the Patriots have never lost at home after holding the halftime lead. 26 regular games, 30 including playoffs, and under Brady have never lost on the road under Brady after holding a positive turnover ratio, 17 regular, 19 playoffs. This is absolutely utopian, 5 years of perfection. In addition, you guys glossed over the fact that the Pats set an NFL record, 80 years of history, of going on the road and beating 4 consecutive opponents by 22 or more points in the same season. I believe objectivity means dealing with the facts as they are. For Pats fans and you geniuses at PFW, once in a while, please acknowledge that this version of the Patriots under Brady from 01 to the present is one of the greatest NFL teams ever assembled.
Yeah, we never say that. We never say how good Tom Brady is.
It will help balance out your ongoing carping on day-to-day Pats issues.
Yeah, we never say that. That's a good email.
Wow, really calling us out.
It's ridiculous. We talk about all the time how great the Patriots are, how great Tom Brady is. Didn't I just say in this show how great Bill Belichick was? I mean, what do you want me to do, get down on my knees? Take a walk.
You know, but I think when we talk about it, we compared, you know, teams to teams, and I don't think the Patriots were as dominant as the 85 Bears or the Steelers in that run. You know, they just weren't as dominant. You know, the Patriots figure out ways to win. They're a game plan team. They're not the kind of team that just says, we are so good that we line up and we do whatever we want and we impose our will on you.
When the Cowboys won.
But they're still a great team.
When the Cowboys won their two Super Bowls, Fred, not the third one, but their first two, do you know how many playoff games they played that finished within 10 points? None.
Yeah.
They won every playoff game in Super Bowl by double digits, and they played some good teams. It was just that it didn't matter. They were too good, and they just slaughtered
you. Right,
right. And no
I remember the Cowboys in those games. Their offensive and defensive line, they just win it right there.
Right.
The opposing team's offense had no time to do anything. They just could never get in any rhythm because the Cowboys were always in their backfield.
Right.
You know?
And they just had – it was a different system. They had better players. Johnson drafted well. I mean, their third-string defensive line could have started for some teams probably. They had so much freaking talent. You can't do that today. So they got – like you said, it's a different era. You got to go a different way.
You got to do it differently. Matt from Quincy. Tom, I noticed this morning that the Niners released Tony Parrish. Is there any chance the Pats would bring him in? He seems like the kind of hard-hitting safety they lack right now. I've always liked him. We talked about him earlier.
Yeah, see, I like Tony Parrish
a lot. They
need
cover guys.
Yeah, I like Tony Parrish a lot, but about 2 years ago, he lost. He was never a great cover guy, but he turned into an awful cover guy. And, you know, you just got to look at it this way. If you're getting cut from San Francisco right now, it's...
Yeah, I mean...
Plus, he's had injury issues, too.
I've seen Chad Scott, I've seen Samuel, and I've seen Artrell Hawkins lay lumber on guys. It's not that they're lacking hitting. They got to cover. That's what they need right now, you know, over the middle.
There's too many guys open.
Alex writes in, while talking about Tony Romo on ESPN Radio, Dan Patrick mentioned that maybe he was the next Danny White. After reading about him, I don't get it. I don't get if it was meant to be a positive or a negative statement, because while White had some good seasons, he was often seen as a choker. Can you give me some more details about Danny White? Well, you're asking the right guy.
Well, Danny White was a phenomenal regular season quarterback. I mean, one of the best in Cowboys history. But it just he got the choker thing because every time they went to the NFC Championship game, they lost. And the one against the Niners with the catch, a lot of people don't remember, the Cowboys drove back down the field to midfield, and White got stripped. And the Niners recovered the fumble. And that was kind of the nail in his coffin where people kind of point to. So I think that was probably meant to be a negative where he's saying maybe he's one of those guys who, I don't know. The comparison is stupid because White played like 15 years in the league and Tony Romo's played 5 games.
And it seems like, well, I you know.
We haven't seen him play a playoff game.
I just remember, you know, I didn't watch Cowboys as much as you back then, but. I just remember White is sort of more a strictly drop back pocket passer.
Oh, yeah.
Romo seems to be able to roll out a little bit and do things on the move.
White used to throw that beautiful ball down the field.
He was a drop back guy. He had that perfect form, you know, almost like Daryl LaMonica.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, years later, I'd probably say he was underrated because he takes too much flack for losing those games. But, you know, that's what happens. You don't win.
Didn't he always wear big shoulder pads, too?
Yeah. He used to punt.
He was a punter, too.
Yeah,
that's right. Also, I read his career ended with a vicious hit from Giants linebacker Carl Banks. I know LT did the same with Joe Theismann in the 80s. Those Giants were really that nasty. Is that true, that Banks ended?
Yeah, it also ended because Landry had pressure to play Steve Pelure, which was obviously the wrong move that Landry later said that I made the wrong decision. But he got injured, and then he kind of just went away because they wanted to go in a different direction, and that actually started the Cowboys' downswing to where they, you know, went 1-15. But the Giants were that nasty.
Yeah.
That defense. I mean, when Belichick was showing us the film last year against the Niners, you kind of forget all the players they had, and when he was going over it, you're just like, wow, man, that defense was great.
Let's see, Mike. I wasn't able to listen or contribute yesterday, and I'm a little late today, but I have been itching to talk about the running game. So if this was already covered, my bad. I have become more and more frustrated with how the team is using their young players, especially Maroney. I'm so tired of watching Dylan run for 2 yards and then need a respirator just to get off the field. I realize that Maroney got hurt last game, but there is no excuse in Maroney not getting close to 20 carries a game at this point in the season. I'm so tired of seeing Bush, Williams, Adai, and even Jones-Drew starting to take over as their team's feature backs and having success. Maroney is arguably the most explosive of any of those backs, and it's almost like he is getting held back. I sure as hell hope that Casale went off yesterday. I'm also tired of Chad Jackson being used as a gimmick player. I know he has not exactly lit it up, but you have to get reps to make plays, and it sure looks like he explodes off the line and can get open. Sorry for the rant after a victory. Maybe I have been listening too long to Casale.
Well, Fred, you got to give it to me. I just said a little while ago that was going to start next year, and we already got an email in saying, well, all those other guys are playing. Don't forget about Norwood. He might end up being the best back out of all of them. But I agree. It's just, you know, give the guy a chance. Let him, I mean, even the one game, what was it, a couple weeks ago, Fred, against the Bears, where he didn't have a lot of yards rushing, but he caught like three passes. He was making guys miss.
Right.
He just does things. I use the eyeball test, all right? I'm watching the game. I don't want to hear numbers. I don't want to hear stats. We're watching the game. We know what we see. And when Maroney has the ball in his hands, whether it be a kickoff, a reception, or a rush, he can make big plays happen.
Yeah, and you know, you can't help it. If you're a young guy and you know you're only going to get a limited amount of carries, you know, to try to make
too much happen.
Yeah. And I've seen that lately, too, out of Maroney,
right,
where – he's
that's
not running,
point,
sometimes running straight ahead. He's trying to, this is my one chance in a while. I better, you know, do something here. And I've seen him give up 3-4 yards to try to get bigger gains.
Right.
You got to let the guy get into the rhythm.
And I think what you said is exactly right. There'd be games where an Emmitt Smith or a Barry Sanders would be like 15 carries for 42 yards. But then, boom, in the fourth quarter when the defense is tired, these guys are breaking off 30 yards a chunk.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the type of back I think Maroney can be, where maybe at halftime he's got 35 yards, he ends up with 160.
Right.
But we'll never know because he only gets 10 carries.
Right. So, Josh in Burlington, you asked for guesses as to issues with the running game. Here's something I noticed. There seems to be a larger than usual number of runs outside the tackles, but when there is success, it seems to be inside the tackles, as is often the case in the red zone. Let's see, and he'll put in a vote for the Rook tote board. I don't agree with that. I think that
there's too much inside.
Yeah, I think that sometimes they're running too much inside, and I do think they've had some success going outside with both Dylan and Maroney.
Yeah, Dylan seems to stretch it out when he does his big runs. They come stretching out a little bit, especially at the goal line.
So I'm not buying that one.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
Josh in Arlington, Virginia, how is Teddy Bruschi not one of the faces of the Patriots? We talked about this earlier. That's not what we're saying.
He's not Tom Brady.
Yeah. I'm not saying that he's not one of the most popular Patriots. Troy Brown is one of the most popular Patriots.
Ever.
You know, but ripping the ball away from Rhodes against the Colts in the snow in the playoffs. Come on. Every NFL fan knows that play. Him on the field playing with his kids before the Super Bowl against the
Eagles.
What does
that have to do with anything?
The interception against the Dolphins with all the snow throwing, not to mention the name Bruschi. Even my friend's wife, who was a Steelers fan, is in love with Bruschi. He was a face of the team even before he had the stroke, which made him the subject of much admiration and adoration throughout the NFL world. Definitely a Ring of Honor member. He is as much a face of the team as Brady or Vinatieri was. Well, Ring of Honor is different than retiring
your
number.
Ring of Honor.
Yeah, that's not retiring his number.
And the face of the team is Tom Brady, okay? I can go through stats of what Marvin Harrison has done for the Colts. Marvin Harrison may go down as the second greatest receiver in the history of pro football. Guess what? He's not the face of the Colts.
No,
Peyton Manning is the face of the Colts.
It's Peyton Manning. Yeah, I mean, you can't confuse popularity and all that stuff when it comes to retiring numbers. You got to be the best at your position in the league, you know, for quite a long time, you know, and it's not just canted. I think within a team to retire a number, you know. You know,
yeah,
Bruschi's going to be forever remembered on this team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll have, you know, he'll...
He's one of the most popular Patriots of all time.
Of all time. He'll forever be a part of this team. If he retired, and I know that when he was thinking about retiring after, you know, his stroke problem, they were already talking to him about, you know, working for the team, you know, staying in touch with the team, doing stuff with the team, you know, so that's a given. That's a given, but that's, it's a different conversation.
Yeah. I mean, Ring of Honor, sure. He can go in the Ring of Honor if he wants, but you can't retire his number.
No.
And he's not the face of the team. The face, Fred, you're going over to China, all right?
Right.
Ask them who's the face of the they're going to all want to know where Tom Brady is.
Well, yeah,
me.
If they know anyone, yeah, you know.
But that's the face of the
right,
team,
right? Right. He's close to the face of the NFL,
right?
I mean, you know, that's how big he is. You know, he visits the Pope,
I think,
for crying out loud.
I got to be honest with you. I think putting Brewski in Brady's class is disrespectful because 20 years from now, Patriot fans are going to sit there and they're going to remember the day that Tom Brady was their quarterback. This only, trust me, I can get fans from many, many teams to tell you this. This kind of stuff only happens probably once in your lifetime, to get a guy like Tom Brady to quarterback your football team. So I hope you can enjoy it now. And all the emailers that were writing in earlier in the year, you know, getting on Brady, well, guess what? Seems like Brady's okay now. You know what I mean? Now that the receivers have been here for a little while,
right.
He's throwing the ball a little bit better. I it's hard for me to hear criticism from Tom Brady because, especially this team that's had so much problems at the quarterback position, you're not going to get too many more guys like this.
Everyone sucks but me. Okay, Ron and Raymond, New Hampshire, says, I don't know how long you have to be around here before you realize that most Patriots fans don't know the meaning of the word objectivity. They're on the bandwagon for whoever played well this week.
That's
correct. I've been a Patriots fan since they came into the league, but I'm also a realist. I have to admit, Corey has surprised me this year, especially when he ran out of steam after a 50-yard run. Bottom line, don't take the fans around here too seriously.
And he's correct, because I was the reporter I was talking to. I said, you know what's going to be funny? If Dylan goes for 10 yards or 10 carries for 15 yards this week and Maroney has 80 yards, you know what we're going to hear next week? Come on, where's Maroney? Dylan's done. They change their tune every week, so you got to be on their bandwagon that week for them to think that you're right.
Clovis in Sacramento, California, you guys were talking about some of the signs of bad coaching, and these two examples come to mind. One, Tom Coughlin always looking as though he's in terminal case of confusion. He always looks as though his last thought was, "What the hell just happened?" Two, Mike Nolan kicking a field goal to put the 49ers up by four when the ball was on the St. Louis 7-yard line with inches to go on fourth down. All Alex Smith had to do was fall forward or stick the ball out a few inches, and they would have had the first down, and the game would have been over. Instead, the Rams take it down the field and get a touchdown and the win. Nolan should have been fired for just plain being a spineless doof.
Well, there's only one thing I'll disagree with Clovis on. It was an inch. It wasn't even inches. That's about as short a fourth down conversion as you can have. And I think we all said, as soon as we saw it, he should have gone for that. I mean, it's hard. I know we get to sit here and say it after the fact, but that's one of those things we're all pretty consistent with. He should have definitely gone for that.
All right, Jason, it's 1:24. That means we take a break. We'll be right back.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly... my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, a senior face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed your helmet, limited to your first order, qualifying purchase, and details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
...or renovate the bathroom...
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
...or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... A little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
I'm really intrigued about this whole personal trainer thing between you and Rook going over to Mexico. And I'll tell you, we got some real guys with some lurid past working on this radio station.
They come to you, Fred.
Yeah.
Those are, see, you always know it because as a personal trainer, you're trying to get business all the time. So you're talking to people that, you know, you think need it and stuff.
Right.
But it's when that 38, 40-year-old, very attractive, hot wife comes to you and says, you know, I'm interested in some taking some personal training. And you're looking at her and you're just like, you're going to pay $300 for what? You know?
And back then you were in your spandex shorts and all that stuff.
No, Fred. No. I've always worn either mesh shorts or wind pants. I've never owned a pair of spandex anything.
No?
Never.
The real thin tank top.
No, I'm not Andy Hart. I'm not, you know, remember when he used to be big?
Well, Andy used to wear the Zubas.
Yeah, I'm not some egomaniac.
Andy always had real, real skinny legs, so when he lifted, he had to wear the Zubas to hide his legs.
He lifts like three times a month, and then he does legs once every 3 months.
Right. So.
Now his head, he's got to start lifting again because now his head's too big for his body.
I don't know. He's afraid about, you know, somebody might give him a piss test. You know, they might happen here. Get suspended. Let's see. Mike writes in. He's from the North End. He says, what do you make of the play of Matt Light? It seems that on an offensive line that is good but somewhat inconsistent, Light has been the weak link this season. When teams have gotten pressure, it's generally been one of two ways, unblocked blitzers right up the gut or backside speed rushes. Obviously, the blitzes not being picked up is on Brady and Copen, and the backs more than Light, but it seems like once in every other game, at least Brady has gotten blindsided from the weak side leading to a strip. I know Light's not a premier tackle, but I'm frustrated that he is struggling as the rest of the line is playing so well.
The rest of the line is playing well how?
Yeah, I don't, it's so hard to know.
I think Andy always hits it on the head when he says he is what he is and he's always been that way.
Yeah.
And Matt Light's always been what... this and he's never going to be anything else.
There's very few left tackles in the league that just shut down people.
There's only like three or four.
Yeah, and so I think he's okay for left tackle. I mean, he's not one of the blue chippers.
No.
You know, but I think he's okay. He's not Walter Jones, and he's not Orlando Pace.
I can tell you, there's a lot worse left tackles in this league than Matt Light.
Yeah, absolutely. Any chance that Rodney makes it back before the postseason? I'm concerned because I've heard very little about his recovery, and he's been listed as out for every game thus far, indicating to me he is many weeks away from playing football. I wouldn't imagine Belichick would waste a roster spot if he didn't believe Rodney would contribute in the future, but I'm worried. Well, I think you hit it on the head there, Mike. Belichick would,
right,
if he didn't think that Rodney was coming back, he'd definitely open up that spot. So he's coming back.
He'll be back at some point. But I'm surprised that you're surprised that you're not hearing anything on the injury.
Right.
Like I said, Belichick already said, getting better day to day.
That's the Patriots way. You don't talk about injuries. Mike also says, finally, what do you make of the naming of Daniel Graham as a captain? I have been a big fan of Graham for years as he is an outstanding blocker who leads the way through the hole on a lot of pass running plays. So I'm glad to see his contributions being recognized, but I can't help but wonder if there isn't an ulterior motive at play here. Do you think the Pats brass believes that by demonstrating to Graham their appreciation for his abilities and his leadership that he will be more inclined to stay as a free agent? And more importantly, will it work? Take it easy. I'm off to buy some chocolate dip pizzles from Mike's. Mike's Bakery in North End is pretty good, but I don't know what a pizzle is.
I don't either.
You don't know what a pizzle is?
No. I think Daniel Graham will stay if they show him a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't think showing him that he's a captain means anything to these guys. You got to remember something. This is Graham's contract. This is the one where he makes the money. You know what I mean?
Right.
He had his rookie contract. Now this is the big one. So it's not going to be, oh, you guys like me a lot, and I'll take $8 million less to
was
stay
he
here.
In on every one of Dylan's touchdowns on Sunday?
I think so.
So that could be another thing. Hey, you know, hey. Three touchdowns. It was all about the blocking. You know, that could be another message.
He was named the captain Friday.
Oh, was he?
After practice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, before the game.
Before the game.
Okay. Brian in Colorado, why don't some of us have Sunday ticket? It's because our wives bought a vacuum cleaner for the second floor. Did any of you see Don Banks' article where he did a redraft? He had the Pats taking a die ahead of D'Angelo Williams and Maroney. With Maroney off the board. What do you think? Dante Whitner was still on the board, eventually going to Buffalo with their second pick.
Are you kidding me? Did you see D'Angelo Williams the other night? Listen, that guy, I said at the draft, and you know how much I like Maroney.
Yeah.
I still think D'Angelo Williams ends up being the best back out of this class. I just think he can do things that nobody else can. And like I said...
Better than Bush?
Overall, I mean, Bush is going to be a great receiver, too. I mean, he's going to be – I still love Reggie Bush, but I think D'Angelo Williams has a chance to be that best running back, pure running back, where Bush is going to do a lot of different things for you. And, you know, I think I'd put Maroney right in that class. A lot of good backs to come out of this draft, it looks like. So, you know, it's tough to call, but I think the only reason why D'Angelo Williams isn't in the middle of the rookie of the year running right now is because he got injured, because he would have replaced Deshaun Foster a heck of a long time ago if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Brian also says, two commercials that have me scrambling for the mute button, that awful Pepsi commercial during your breaks and the Wild Turkey commercials on Sirius. Awful. I've never heard the Wild Turkey.
No, I don't know what that is.
On Sirius. But
I could do without that other commercial.
The Pepsi commercial's awful because I hate Jimmy Fallon. And it always reminds me of that commercial on TV with him on the street doing that stupid dance. Man, I can't stand that. Jimmy Fallon is the least talented person making the most money on the face of the earth.
What about Whoopi Goldberg?
I don't know. Yeah, she's pretty untalented as well. But Jimmy Fallon's awful. He was awful on Saturday Night Live.
Don't
He's
like
been awful.
Jimmy Fallon, huh?
No, don't like him.
All right.
I'm Jimmy Fallon. Oh, he's awful.
All right.
Artie from Keene, New Hampshire. We are behind you, Tom, with knowing that Corey Dillon has his place and it isn't an every down back for the Patriots. Did I already read this? No. Just because we don't go on the message boards or write in all the time doesn't mean we aren't here. The silent majority of Patriots Nation is behind you.
Hey, it's the silent majority, Big Mouth.
P.S. Actually, I think Corey is part of that silent majority wanting Maroney to get in there since he begs out all the time.
See, that's what I think. I just think that there's some people who spend their entire lives posting messages, and they think they speak for all Patriot fans. But I think what this guy said is true. I think there's a bunch of Patriot fans that don't go on message boards, that don't email in.
Right.
And we don't hear from them
a lot.
Well,
that's the whole thing with talk radio, too. You know, there's a certain sliver of sports fans who actually take the time
to call in
and are willing to wait 45 minutes to talk to these idiots. And then all of a sudden, that's the voice of the fan. Well, no, it isn't. That's just the voice of the nuts.
Yeah, because if you go on those message boards, they feel like the eight people who post are the voice of Patriots Nation. Well, there's a ton of fans that don't even go to those places. So,
but that's not the first time, though, that you've drawn their ire.
No, they don't like me.
They don't like you, Tom.
I don't know why.
You know, you're not towing the company line or whatever. I don't know.
No, you know why
is.
They don't like me? Because I say what I think, and then they think you have an agenda. You know, they all forgot to mention about how all the positive things I say about virtually everybody else on this team, and that I've been on the Corey Dillon thing since July consistently, telling you that he was old, he was out of shape, he's going to be injured, and he can't do it anymore. But they don't mention, they don't put the big picture there, Fred. They just take a couple of snippets. And you know what? Keep talking about me. Because you know, I want to point out something. The two people that the message board guys hate the most, Michael Felger and Ron Borges, are the two richest journalists in the Boston area.
Right.
So you keep putting me in those message boards and you keep talking about me because maybe sooner or later I can afford the apartment Felger's living in.
Oh. Well, you already have a good-looking wife, so you don't need that. You know, right?
Well, it's all right, yeah.
Well, you're not married yet, right?
No, not yet.
Does she know?
I don't know, Fred. Have you been to the wedding?
Does she know? Well, I don't know. Don't have to invite me. Trent got married. No one even knew it. He came back over the weekend and said, I got married. But does she know about the past, all this?
I like young girls.
Fred,
you should know something about me. I'm straight up with everybody.
Yeah?
She knows everything. Because my theory is...
Did she have you tested?
Oh, I don't do stuff like that, Fred.
Oh.
I'm always prepared.
Okay.
I don't take that. I already got one disease. I don't need another one. My theory is if you're straight up with everybody, then they can never find you lying. So I told her everything, so she can't find anything in my past.
There you go.
Now, I can't say the same thing for about the people here. There might be a couple of things I left out, but you have to piece the puzzles together yourself.
Well, we're finding out more and more as we go along. This is interesting. Does Andy know about this? I won't tell him because he'll be relentless.
I don't know if I told Andy or not. I know we talked about personal training. I don't know if I had gotten into that or not.
Yeah. Well, okay.
See, it all depends on when we talked about it. Because, like, when I first started here, you know, I don't want to show all my cards. Now I'm pretty comfortable, so I'm willing to tell you anything.
Jason, you work out?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about becoming a personal trainer?
Maybe now.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to be a good line of work.
I'll tell you what, it's a great... I was at a gym with probably three other personal trainers, and there wasn't one of us that didn't have some extracurricular
activity
going. Is
that right?
Going.
Wow, you guys have, you're like gigolos.
They come and get you, Fred. That's the best part. I never went after a girl myself. They all came and came after me.
Wow. That must be like some secret desire of women to make it with their trainer.
No, but you know what it is, Fred? A lot of them are wives whose husbands have money. And they're working out, and they're bored. Their husbands aren't around. And then they see a guy who's in pretty decent shape helping out other people, and it kind of all clicks together. And I'm telling you, if Nikki ever says I need personal training, you come get me right away because I'll have to go and say, listen, we got to put a stop to this right now.
Oh, boy. This is something. Yeah.
I think it's a lot of jobs like that, like ski instructors, coaches.
Marketing?
No. No.
I hear you guys get your share of tail over in marketing.
You're talking to the wrong guy on that one, then.
What are you doing wrong, then?
I'm engaged.
So? You're not married. I don't see a ring on your finger.
I'm engaged.
Jason, how old are you?
I'm looking for tail.
I'll be 25 next month.
Oh, for crying out loud. I didn't get married till I was 40.
Engaged at 25.
Come on.
Disgraceful.
Come on, live a little.
I was still puking my brains out and snorting Jägermeister when I was 25.
I can still do that engaged.
That's true. But, no, you live a little. How long have you been getting engaged? How long have you been...
Couple months.
That's it? Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you set a date?
October 6th, next year.
There's still time.
Right in the middle of football season. Good thinking.
Yeah, what's that all about? You do that in the off-season.
I never understand these idiots.
Yeah. Having babies in January. What are you talking about? This is the Patriots. We go to the playoffs every year, Paul. I'll never live that one down, though. I told him he should have went to the Super Bowl. He ended up having the baby like
You know, I'd
Thursday
been,
before the game.
You know how sick I am. You know, I would have been to the Super Bowl because I don't care about kids.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. G. Rab in Goffstown, New Hampshire. You better leave Corey alone, Tom. Ask Felger. Yeah, Felger.
I'm not afraid of Dylan. Yeah. If he approaches me in the locker room, I won't back down.
Why are you such a wiener? Where did you work before New England? Oliver Hoyt, fullback, middle linebacker? You've got some attitude, bad attitude. I can't believe that Bob Kraft won't let you go. You're not untouchable. Hell, you were not even here last year.
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
Nice email.
George, you're a little upset about Tom. I mean, that's what we... You don't want...
I don't want everyone to like me.
No.
Because you know why? George will keep listening because he wants to hear what I have to say next.
Yeah, plus you don't want everyone on the radio saying, oh, you're right.
Right.
You're right. Oh, yeah.
That makes for great radio. But, Fred, I'll just say, you know, I'm giving my opinion. If Corey Dillon's got a problem with that, that's his... You know, right there, George, he doesn't like me, right? Am I challenging him to a fight?
No.
So if Corey Dillon...
If he was here, you might.
No. I don't mind if people don't like me.
Yeah.
I'm abrasive. I'm an idiot. But if Corey Dillon were to say something to me, I can guarantee you I wouldn't stand there like Michael Felger.
No.
Now, can I take Corey Dillon? No. But...
What do you got to lose?
Yeah, right.
Couple teeth? Big deal.
Yeah, a couple teeth, a couple million.
Yeah, right. Eddie from New York City, with a couple of years without Crennel and Weiss, which absence do you think the Patriots were most affected by? Also, can we forget about Maroney being Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
I think so.
He's out.
Yeah.
I would probably still say Weiss because the defense has played well. It's hard to say. You know, I don't know what Weiss would have done if he would have done that much better with the losses they had at receiver. There's only so much, but his experience would have helped him.
Yeah, I think his working with Brady, relationship with Brady would have been good, especially in a time like this when you had all these new receivers.
Right.
You know, you know that Weiss would have no problem calling these receivers out in practice and really riding their tail. You know, and that would kind of take some of the, at least Brady would see someone sticking up for him, you know, in the early days, whereas I don't think Josh McDaniels is doing that.
Right.
You know, the guy's what, 17 years old? You know, I can't see Chad Jackson really, you know, so that is one disadvantage that Josh has. He could be the greatest coordinator in the world, but he looks like a young kid. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen him? I mean, he might be 30 in actuality, but he looks like he's 20. He's very young looking.
And who was that? Who padded, remember Shula, Dave Shula, when he was the coach of the Bengals? And one of his players patted him on the head that one time when he was coming off the field, because Shula looked like he was about 18 years old, and he just knew right there that no one had any respect for the guy. He was yelling at him, and the player just patted him on the head like, okay, little boy. So you might have something there.
Let's see. We'll read this, and we'll go to a break. This is from somebody. I don't know who it is. He's afraid to give his name. He says, I hate the new people on the show so much that I listen to the archive shows. And those friggin' Pepsi commercials blow. And F. Craig, too, that douche. I don't know. Craig? Who? What?
You listen to the archive.
But you're listening now, so that's all I need to know. All right.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down frames, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMuda's Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this.
It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
You can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, a senior face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph your helmet limited to your first quarter and qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
All right, back to FDSF in progress. Brett Tom keeping the house warm here until 2 o'clock, and then it's John Rook. Will be with us. Is he doing it from his ISDN line?
No, he's in Florida.
So who's doing the show?
He is.
How is he doing it?
Phone.
Not. He didn't set up with an ISDN or anything like that? So he's just going to be on the phone talking?
Yep.
Wow.
Fred promoting the show coming up. Does he have any guests? He's got some locker room sound. He's got the coach's interview, Brady's interview.
In other words, he's taking the day off. we should have a guest, a guest host when he's on the road like that. We should, have somebody else host the show. You know,
do you want to hang out down here for another 2 hours?
No, but I'm saying that we know his schedule. We should get like Mike Reese or something to do a show.
I think he's probably writing his articles for tomorrow.
All these excuses. He would do it. You know, these guys, takes them an hour a day to write their articles. You know. I think that's, when John's on the road, we shouldn't have to make him call from a hotel phone and do a show for 2 hours. Should get a guest host, when Johnny Carson used to go away, they'd bring in, whoever, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't care one way or the other, so.
Well, I'm just saying.
I got to say thanks to James. Not only did you get yours today, Fred?
I did.
Okay, well, not only did
actually yesterday.
The laptop, but he sent me a couple of pairs of these Bose headphones.
Yeah,
they're not quite these, but they're nice.
They're nice.
So I gotta thank him once again.
Nice, he pulled through. Yeah, and he got me. I don't want to say it because somebody might be listening who is getting it. So I got something. It was good.
All right.
Yeah. So he came through. So Christmas is coming. You got all your shopping done?
Yeah, I don't really buy for anybody.
Well, buy for your fiance.
Well, it just came.
What about your parents?
I'll get them something.
Yeah.
You know, a little something.
No brothers, sisters, cousins?
I got a sister.
Yeah, you get her something?
She'll get a Patriot sweatshirt.
So you get things for people.
Yeah, but it takes me all of 5 minutes.
Okay.
I don't go shopping.
No?
No.
What do you want?
I really don't want anything this year.
Oh, you're one of those guys? You do.
No, Fred, I always want something, but the things I want cost too much. I want a house. You going to give me one of those? I want a car. You got one of those?
I need a car.
Yeah, so do I.
I just got mine back from the shop yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, it's running good. There was a problem with a bulb underneath the hood. It was draining the battery. It was staying on. So I just ripped it out. So now I don't need the bulb. Well, you don't need a bulb under your hood, right?
No.
It only lights up like one little part of it anyway.
I don't go
it's
under.
Not like at night you're doing, you know, engine work on your car.
I don't go under my hood. If someone's going under my hood, it's not me.
Right. So I figured I don't need it. Just take it out. So that's what I did. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Is John on the phone? John?
John is on the phone.
John's on the phone. Hey, Rook.
Hey, what? You guys are giving me crap about being in Florida? It's 75 degrees here today.
No, what I'm saying is that we know your schedule. When you're in Florida, they should arrange for a guest host for you.
Well, Fred, I think you understand what that's all about budgetary-wise.
Oh, these guys from the Globe, they're just looking for free publicity. They do it for nothing.
Yeah. Well, hey, Rook, I'm glad you're here because I said something last week, and I want to get your impressions on it.
Shoot.
You know, we were talking about your show and our show, and then some emailers emailed in saying how they didn't like our show, but they liked your show, and it should be podcasted. Now, I said I think you're a very knowledgeable guy. I like you, but I don't think you can hold my jock. So what would you say to that? Do you agree?
You know what, Tom? In all honesty, I wouldn't want to hold your jock.
Wow. Well, after you heard the stories earlier, you certainly wouldn't want to.
This guy's cranky because Texas is playing Iowa in some meaningless bowl.
Oh, wow.
Well, hey, believe me, I'm bumming about that myself. The Longhorns get what they deserve. They had a chance to take care of their business.
Yep, you're right.
You know, so I don't really have any complaints with that. You know, the thing is that the Alamo Dome is basically 75 miles south.
I know.
So, you know, they'll sell the stadium out. The Alamo Dome people are thrilled to death to have them in there. You know, they don't have to go far. They can take buses down. You know, that's the big thing. So, they had a shot. They don't deserve to go anyplace else.
Yep. All right. So, what do you think about the Patriots? What's going on here?
What do I think about the Patriots? In all honesty, I think that, and I mentioned this a little bit on yesterday's show, but I believe that I don't think this team is Super Bowl bound. And the reason I say that is because they have an annoying tendency to play down or sometimes up to their level of competition. And I think that teams, generally speaking, that the ones that separate themselves from the pack when it comes to playoff caliber teams, those are the ones that go about taking care of their business like this Patriots team has done over, you know, three or four of the last several years. This team doesn't seem to have that tendency to do that. And I think that they definitely played down to the level of the Lions. And, you know, I would imagine that they'll rise to the challenge somewhat to Miami this week because they know Miami's tough. They know the familiarity. But, you know, the talk down here in Florida this week in the media is how the Dolphins are done and how they're ready to lay down.
Yeah, but
that's where they're the
that.
Scariest, though. When they hear that talk is usually when they play their best.
Yeah, I mean, Dolphins started playing well when they were out of the race.
Well, that's also true. So, I mean, that's why, you know, I'm kind of going into this one a little bit of hesitation. I mean, I think these last four games are not going to be near as easy as people tend to think that they may be. I realize this is somewhat of a pessimistic point of view, but I'm just trying to be a realist here based on the previous 12 weeks that we've seen with this Patriots team. And the fact is that, let's face it, this team plays up or down to its level of competition. There is no even keel here.
I think the Patriots this year are just reflecting the whole league. I mean, there's really no team that you can't say week in and week out, wow, they are who they are. This is who they are. Every team goes up and down. You're seeing it more now even, you know, with the Colts. San Diego's had to come back from like 24 points in two straight weeks. You know, they play great one half and then terrible another. You know, the Bears have had off weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's the nature of the NFL this year. And because you've got Belichick, because you've got Brady, you know, you've got a shot.
Well, I'd go with that to a certain extent. You know, you're right. There is no dominating team. Up until a week or two ago, I would have said that, you know, and in fact, I actually would kind of hold on to this one for the time being because there's really nobody else. But I think San Diego and Dallas are playing the best football of anybody. And give San Diego some credit, at least for coming back and having the wherewithal to do what they're doing. Plus, you can make that same statement about the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots could have laid down, but I just find it somewhat really disturbing that they can, you know, squeak by a team that won 9 games, you know, a couple weeks ago and have to squeak by a team that lost 9 games the next week.
No, that just shows how ridiculous this league is sometimes. You know, it's just so up and down. But, you know, you look at the Colts losing to the Titans. Now, I know the Titans are playing better, but, you know, here they go. They end up losing to the Titans. You know, the Jets lose to the Bears. They get shut out by the Bears. And then, but the Jets beat the Patriots. It's crazy. You can't look at it that way. Well, they can beat the Bears who have won 9 games and then lose, and then barely beat a team that lost 9 games. It's just, you get in trouble when you start making those comparisons.
Well, Fred, I would agree that, you know, it's a different day and age in the NFL. But until we see a team actually win a championship that kind of floats along, you know, playing up or playing down to the level of his competition, then I think you can only go based on what, you know, history has told you.
What about the Steelers?
They were last
hot
year.
Well, the Steelers got red
got
hot at the end of the year.
But, yeah. But up to that point, I mean, we still have 4 games left. You know, any
well,
team, Patriots
okay,
have
I
won the last.
Yeah.
Patriots have won the last 3 games, 4 games, right? What are they? 3 games.
I will give you.
If
I will give you that.
If they run this
Patriots
out, they will have won 7 games in a row. And you say, oh, they got hot. Yeah,
if the Patriots win
right.
out. If they win these last 4 games, then I will say you have a legitimate argument.
Right.
Even if they squeak by. I mean, let's face it. I think that that's probably what will happen. I mean, does Tennessee, you know, appear to be the shoe-in that it was, you know, a month ago?
No. Hell no.
Does Jacksonville? No.
No, not at Jacksonville.
So that's what I'm saying.
And neither does Miami. And Miami isn't either.
No. So, I mean, the only game that you feel relatively comfortable with right now would be Houston next week.
I don't even feel that comfortable.
And I don't,
these guys are laughing at me, but I don't.
No, I don't either. I really don't. I mean, the way that they've struggled at home this year, I don't know how you can, you know, feel comfortable about anything.
Using your argument, John, if they had that much trouble with the Lions, they would lose to the Texans.
Well, I don't know that they'll lose to the Texans. I think that they'll have trouble with them. You know, and I think that one of these games, if they, you know, turn the ball over 3, 4, 5 times like they've done the last 2 weeks, they're going to lose.
Right. I agree with that.
So, I mean, that right now, all you can control is you. And I know I'm going to start sounding like Bill, but you can only control you. And what they can control right now is working on cutting down their mistakes. I mean, they had 10 penalties last week. They turned the ball over 3 more times, so that's now 8 giveaways in the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, they're very fortunate, you know, to have won the 2 games. Extremely
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And they should
if you
look
take
at it
care,
that way. Yep.
If you take care of your mistakes, again, focus on what you can control, then those close games don't, they're not close.
All right. Well, you heard it from Coach Rook.
Yeah.
Only worry about what you can control.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We can't worry about the Dolphins. We can't worry about the Texans. We can't worry about the Jaguars. We can't worry about the Titans, although you might want to worry about VY a little bit. You know, the man's getting ready to play some football.
All
you know?
Right. Yeah.
What do you think, Tom? Yeah, he's playing pretty well lately.
No, he's playing really good. I can't wait to go down and see him. And unfortunately for Andy Hart, he doesn't get to do the opposing view anymore, so I'll be the one interviewing him after the game. And I'll make sure to tell him that you say hello, John.
Well, make sure you tell him. No, don't tell him I said hello. Tell him I said hook him.
All right.
You guys, can switch. You don't have to.
Oh, yeah, right. Like,
can I have the assignment this week, Fred, for that week?
Sure.
You can go to Tennessee. I'll stay here.
All right. That'll do it for PFW in Progress. Stay tuned for John Rook. He's down in Florida.
Taking the day off.
Lucky. All right. We'll see you tomorrow.